do, I got a backbone. Oh yeah, I'm taking they bags, ain't got no match. And when it comes to this cash, I need it back. I'ma take they money with no mask. Money with no mask. Money with no mask.
Welcome back to the UK and Ireland Jets podcast. What you've just heard was a song from our new running backs album. You might have heard his name, something like Le'Veon Bell. We'll try not to spend too much time focusing on Mr. Bell tonight, but that might be quite hard for us. Joining me on this podcast are a few familiar voices from our introductory podcast, Jacob, Henry and Ian. So I put the first question to you, gentlemen. How important is the signing of Le'Veon Bell? Does he instantly make the Jets a much better team?
Yeah, I think it's just the level of excitement it's going to bring. And obviously, giving another option to the quarterback is a huge, huge thing for him.
Yeah.
I think I was more excited by the CJ Mosley signing for what it can do for the team long term. But Bell just, it's a marquee signing. It's a proper person.
Yeah.
On paper, I think Bell is, it's a home run. Like, we've done incredibly well to land it. But the only doubt in my mind is the O-line situation, because he was behind arguably the best O-line in the league for years. And all the highlights you watch of him, you can see how good that O-line was. And he's coming into New York with, our O-line is not the best right now. So that's my only concern. I feel like we need to really push for a better O-line to maximise his potential.
Yeah. I was just going to say, with the O-line situation, though, obviously our O-line's not in a great place, but just watching like tape, even if you put on 5 minutes, you can see he makes the O-line better because his cuts are just absolutely disgusting. Yeah. He lures the player in and just switches to the other side. And that's not down to the O-line, that's all down to him. So obviously, like, our situation's not great. Obviously, the trade was a great move, but hopefully he makes them look a bit better almost.
Yeah, I think with the O-line, I mean, that definitely has to be a focus in the draft. But another aspect of Le'Veon Bell's game, which is going to be massive, especially for Sam Darnold, I think, is his ability to catch the ball. I mean, I was watching a few tapes as well, and he's just as good as any other wide receiver. I mean, he could arguably be one of the best receivers on our team.
He's probably the best.
Yeah.
The best. Definitely the best.
I mean, I know that's the argument he had for wanting to be paid a lot more money. And I mean, he must be slightly disappointed getting less at the Jets. But the amount he offers to that offense is just unbelievable.
I think it gives some sort of fear as well, because last year you had Crowell in the back and teams aren't going to be scared of that. But now they've got to strategize around Bell, and that is going to free up Darnold so much more.
Yeah.
Totally.
And as like,
if you think about,
if
you think about the way it changes the offense as well, that you're going to have all these kind of short yardage options, like Herndon, I thought was really good last year. Mm-hmm. You've got obviously Crowder coming in as well. And then, you know, potentially that helps Anderson and Anunua, like, you know, go downfield. And it just presents with a couple of different checkdowns for Darnold. It's going to be a different look to the offense, definitely.
Yeah. And in terms of the development for Darnold, I mean, I know a lot of people don't like him, but Colin Cowherd, we're talking about how the Jets are kind of following the stereotypical way of developing a good young quarterback. And the Cowboys done it with Dak Prescott bringing in Zeke. The Rams done it with Goff having Todd Gurley there. And now the Jets have Bell with Darnold. I mean, it should make a massive difference for him and his development.
Yeah, totally agree. I think what else Bell brings to the table in terms of, like someone was just saying a second ago, we had Crowell. Is that like a scare factor to the other teams? No. Now, do you stack the box and risk Anunua, Robbie Anderson and Crowder burning you deep? Or do you play deep and risk Le'Veon gaining 5 or 6 yards every play? Because at the end of the day, 5 or 6 yards every play is not pretty football, but it will win you games.
Yeah. Okay, so well, let's try and move away from Bell just for a little bit anyway. And Martin Beaumont on Twitter has asked, like, outside of the signing of Bell, who has been your favourite Jets free agent signing? Who will be the most important?
I really liked Crowder. Watching the videos of him and seeing how smart he plays, like, I never realised. I just thought he was a simple slot receiver. But the videos I've watched on him and the analysis, it's really interesting because he frees up so much room for the other receivers. And yeah. I think that's a big thing that we need, because last season we were so reliant on just one long ball over the top, really, or Hendon to make a play. And that's all we had last season. So for someone else to free up so much more room down the field, I think that's going to be such a big difference.
Yeah.
And also with Crowder, if you've watched Adam Gase's offense last year in Miami, the things he's going to do with Crowder is just perfect. He's the perfect player for him. He had Kenyon Drake and Albert Wilson last year, and he's just going to get the ball in Crowder's hands and he's just going to do magic, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see quite a few little tricks here and there. I mean, you can see that Crowder has the ability with his speed, with his like ability to run the routes. I think Gase is going to have a lot of fun scheming with him.
Yeah.
Go.
I was just going to mention someone did before, CJ Mosley. I mean, the money's a lot, but on paper, he is unbelievable. And I think I personally was underestimated how good he actually was. But reading into him, I was just... I'm blown away that we've got this caliber of player now. And on top of Jamal Adams, and I think we're like... We just need to sort the cornerback issue and that defense, top 10 on paper.
He's just another winner for the team, isn't he? That's the thing. But yeah. I really do think that this could be a big season for Tremaine Johnson. You know, he's got a lot of talent. He wants to be surrounded by good players. And there's a few more like leaders in the locker room now who can hopefully, you know, bring him on and encourage the kind of performances that he had earlier in his career and really become a big part of the offense. I think, you know, a settled team, and he becomes, you know, a real weapon. He's a proper person. And I just think the more of them we have in the team, the better. Like, you know, like we were saying about Crowder again, you know, he's a leader, he's a winner, but CJ Mosley, man, he's the one I'm excited about. He's a hell of a descriptive player.
Yeah. I mean, 4 Pro Bowls in 5 seasons is remarkable. Yeah.
And he's quite young, isn't he? He's only 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the end of his rookie contract, obviously. And even with Mosley, we've added players with 10 Pro Bowls on the roster, and we only had 4 before that. So just in terms of that, like, obviously Pro Bowls, look at it how you want, not a great stat, but we're just adding experience and great quality players, which is going to only boost everyone else's performance.
I mean, is that reflective of how good the players we've signed are or how bad the Jets were last season?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and obviously we let 2 of the Pro Bowls go in Myers and Roberts, but that's for another story.
Yeah, of course. And also with Mosley, I think, as Ian said, the fact that he is such a big player on the defense, I mean, it means that the pressure's almost off Jamal now. And I don't think he wants the pressure to be off of him. He seems to have kind of reignited New York Jets, but that extra player, that extra leader, hopefully with Tremaine Johnson, I think we'll see a better Jets defense. Still not elite with the corner situation, but a much better defense.
I think we've got to be very careful, right? I think we've got some good pieces, and you know, like we're saying, that these are young guys. But if you look at like the way the Jets stacked up against their peer group last year, in points and yards, the Jets were like probably the worst defense they've had since 1976 compared to other teams in the sort of statistic lines they're giving up. So there is a lot of work to be done, right? I think we've got to acknowledge that the Jets aren't great, and although they've made some progress, we need a hell of a draft to get a winning season next year.
Yeah, and on that topic of like what else the Jets defense needs. I mean, pass rusher was a big need, and I know it might be addressed still in the draft, but at one point for about 20 hours we had Anthony Barr sign, who many thought Greg Williams was going to kind of revert Barr back to his college days and turn him into a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. But he got cold feet, and once again the Jets were humiliated.
I was devastated about that.
Yeah, and Thomas on WhatsApp has asked, like, was that a disappointment for the Jets, or was it actually a blessing in disguise because it meant that that money could be spent elsewhere?
As I said, I was personally really gutted about that. He's one of my favourite players in the league. So hearing that he backed out was really annoying. Yeah. He was actually, like, even with Bell, he was my favourite free agency signing.
Yeah.
That was just purely off watching him. Big game player. So yeah, I was gutted, but it was also a lot of money, and it was as you said, a what if. What was Greg Williams planning on doing with him? So it could have backfired.
I'd say it was a high risk, high reward type of move, and obviously we're not going to be able to tell whether that was going to pay off. But at the end of the day, it kind of, if we did sign him, do we go edge at three? And now we are going to go edge at three. So, and there's so many great players on the board at three. Maybe not getting Barr means we're going to take a Nick Bosa potentially, or a Josh Allen, and that could benefit us in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it comes down to Barr had 23.5 sacks in college. A lot of people liked him in college as a pass rusher. I mean, Connie Carberg even tweeted us saying that she loved him coming out of college alongside, I think it was Khalil Mack. But the question was that potential as high as the known reality of getting Le'Veon Bell? Because that money might have never been available if it wasn't for Anthony Barr turning back on the Jets.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I don't think we would have got Bell if we had stuck with Barr. I think we might have pushed for a centre more as well. But as soon as Barr was off the table, I think we just took a beeline for Bell, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, the centre position is another hot topic.
Mm.
I mean, what do we make of that with Matt Paradis? At one point, with Gary V seeming like he was going to be a Jet, and then the next thing we know, he's not. It's all a bit confusing, really.
Yeah, well, I'd say that's the one negative of free agency. Like, I can't, I'm happy overall, don't get me wrong, but if there was going to be a perfect scenario, which there never is, the centre would be the final piece. Okay. And to hear that we didn't offer a contract is kind of annoying, because obviously they have their reasons that maybe we don't know what they're planning, but it's not, we didn't even try almost to get one, and it's like one of the biggest holes on our roster. But we'll have to see what they do. They can make up for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that I kind of had questions about was Paradis's injury.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that the Jets never made an offer suggests that maybe they weren't confident that he was going to be.
Yeah, that was the same with the Broncos, I think. They didn't really offer him much because they were really worried about the injuries. And obviously, that's kind of a positive for us in a way, because they know more than we do about those injuries with obviously him playing there. So maybe, obviously, there's not all the information comes out at this point. So we got to wait almost and see.
Yeah.
It's very easy as like armchair fans to just demand signings, but you have to be realistic, and these people get paid millions and millions to make these decisions. So I think we've got to trust in what they are planning. I could see us going centre in free agency, because it just doesn't make sense for us to skip on two potential centres and with the money that we did have available.
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of links into another question that Martin had for us, and that was what players that are still available. I mean, can we just remember that we were recording this on Monday night, so when this airs, it might be a different situation. But what players that are still available do you think the Jets should go for? I mean, there are a few guards on there that could go into centres. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Wisniewski or...
good luck pronouncing that.
Or Sitton. Do you think that's an area the Jets are going to go now? Or do you think they explore other avenues?
Well, the cap is around 35, 40 million. So realistically, we can make a couple more signings with that. And I think one that we will see is maybe not one that everyone wants, but one that I think we will see is Josh Sitton because of that connection with Gase. And I'm fine with that signing as long as he can slide over to centre, because I don't really want to sign him as a backup, because I think, well, he's almost too good to be a backup. We've got Osmeli from the trade and he plays left guard similar to Sitton. I think Brian Winters can hold his own at right guard with an improved O-line. So I wouldn't sign him for depth. I'd sign him if we could play him at centre.
Yeah. And what about Justin Houston? He's still on the market. Mm-hmm. And that's a big-time name that would be great to see in New York Jets.
I think Ansah as well from the Lions. He's had some incredible seasons.
Yeah.
But again, it depends on the money that these players want, because you have to think there is some great players still on the market, so you've got to assume they're asking for money that no one wants to pay.
He's quite beat up as well.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, Justin...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think a name that people are forgetting is Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
We were linked with him last year, obviously, but obviously that didn't happen, but bringing him on a one-year deal, maybe, that's obviously not going to affect us long-term, but just to, I don't know, help Leo, if we draft Edge at 3, that D-line will be insane.
The problem I have with Sue is the culture and whether he is a locker room cancer and whether he'll actually add more than he kind of takes away.
Mm. Yeah. There's ifs and buts. You can't really tell until they're there, and then it could be too late.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to Justin Houston, I mean, apparently the Jets are in it with the Ravens and the Steelers. So obviously if the Jets want to, they will pay him. But apparently a lot of people are expecting him to, are saying that he wants a lot of money. So the Jets kind of having that reluctance. Does that suggest they might take a pass rusher at number 3 in the draft?
Yeah, I think if I'd be happy to pay him what he wants on a one-year deal. Because at the end of the day, what's the point in having like a lot of unnecessary cap sitting there when we can get a player in who's not only going to contribute but potentially mentor a draft pick we take if we take Edge at 3, or even just help someone like Jordan Jenkins, because he's not a half bad player. Maybe he can help him some more. So as long as it's on a one-year deal and doesn't affect us long-term, I don't really have a problem with overspending a bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind taking Eric Berry on a short term as well, because Marcus Mayer's his injuries are just so inconsistent, you never know with him. I think he's a player that we could look at on short term. But him himself, he's been riddled with injuries as well, so I think we need to look for consistency. But at the same time, we should be looking at win now players.
Yeah. Do you think the Jets can afford to have the win-now mentality? Do you think they're that close? Do you think this off-season allows them to challenge within the next 2 to 3 years?
I think you have to kind of put in that mindset now, purely why Sam's on his rookie contract, because obviously he's going to cost a lot of money down the line, because if he becomes the player we're expecting him to be. So even if we're pushing a 9-7 record, a 10-6 record, you just got to push for that, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We need at least a step up in when we've been 4 years. Whether it's win now, next year, it's got to be soon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Jets can't continue with this losing culture. And I mean, I think it also comes down to Maccagnan. I think if we see another losing season, I think Maccagnan might see his job on the line.
Yeah.
I think he's got to do well on this draft as well, because he gets criticised so much for his late-round draft picks. And his first rounds have been obviously brilliant, but at the same time, they fell to him.
Yeah.
I think we all could have picked them players if they fell into our lap.
I mean, you've got to give him credit for the trade last year. I mean, we celebrated St. Sam's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
And I mean, it kind of, we'll talk about this a bit later on in the podcast. It's just whether Maccagnan does have, has had like the opportunity now, and with the win now situation. I mean, it's been so long that since the Jets have been in the playoffs. I mean, it needs to happen soon. And Darnold, Bell, Jamal Adams, CJ Mosley, like the players are there now. So there shouldn't really be much of an excuse.
Even if it sets us up for the season after to go win now, because you've got to be thinking time's ticking with Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd come back this season coming up, but obviously winning the Super Bowl helped ignite that. But you look at the Dolphins and the Bills aren't in amazing shape. It's such a prime, we're in such a good time to go into win now in the coming seasons and take over the division. So as you were saying, though, if Mac doesn't get a winning season or closer playoffs, I think he has got to go.
Yeah. And also, in terms of next season, I mean, the Jets' schedule, it really isn't that hard. I mean, I can't quite find it now, but there was a list of the QBs that the Jets will face. And some of them, I mean, well, you look at the Dolphins and we'll be going up against Fitzmagic, he'll probably turn on against us. But other than, like, there's not that many, apart from obviously Tom Brady, there's not that many top QBs that we have to face next year and top teams that are really a major challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think, though, with Mac, I think he's past the first stage of his job almost with this free agency, because last year we had a lot of cap and we didn't do anything. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we're rebuilding, but at some point you've got to turn on the Jets. And I feel like he's doing that this season. We've got our QB. We're still, like, I wouldn't say we're out of the rebuilding stage, but we are nearly there. After this season, we're definitely out of it, I'd say. And so I think he's had a hit in free agency, and that's definitely going to help his job. Obviously, he's got to get the draft pick right, but can you screw up a number three pick? I don't think you can.
And a big thing that's changed this season is the head coach change. And it came out today on social media that the new free agent signing, Josh Bellamy, was largely swayed to sign with the Jets because of our new head coach, Adam Gase, and the time that they spent together in Chicago. So this leads to an interesting question that Chris asked us on Twitter. He said, if Todd Bowles was still in charge, do you think that we would have been able to make the signings that we did?
That's a hard one, you know, because obviously
I wouldn't be a Jets fan still if he was still here.
We'd be trying to get on the Patriot podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
I think one that we wouldn't have got is Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, how comes?
Only because Gase's scheme, if you look at our team right now, I mean, you've got Anunoa, who's good when he's got the ball in his hands, but he hasn't got that top-notch speed. Adam Gase loves players like Crowder, and obviously we can't tell, but I reckon he's putting a word to Mac there to get him, because he and his scheme is going to benefit him large.
You can't help but think players like Le'Veon Bell wouldn't have wanted to play in the Jets offense last season as well.
Mm. I don't believe we would have got the offensive tools that we did, especially Bell, because did you see our play calling last year? That, like, who wants to play under that? So I think Adam Gase has been helpful, like, coming in, being able to recruit these types of players. Definitely.
It's just a culture change, really. Like, it's a fresh start. And obviously, I don't know, but personally for me, if, like, it's a fresh start at a team, you can't think negatively, can you? Because there's nothing happening. You can only think onwards and upwards. And everyone knows that we're on the up.
Yeah. Do we think that the weapons now available in this offense will allow Gase to see success?
I still believe that we're a top wide receiver away from challenging a top end. Anderson, the new one, they are good players, but they're not in that. The game changes. You'll turn a game around for you. Like if you look at the Texans and Hopkins, the amount of games he single handedly won for them, it's just we need that type of player. I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's hard. It's horrible to do so, but comparing with the Browns, who have made these massive splashes, it is apparent that we still have a lot more improvement available on that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we think of the Browns? I know this is a Jets podcast, but what do we make of what the Browns have done?
I'm bloody scared of them. Jesus. I was just going to say, like, that offense, obviously, they made a great trade for Landry last year. They only gave up, like, a third and a fourth, I want to say, which is a good trade. Pair him with OBJ. You've got David Njoku at tight end, Chubb and Kareem Hunt on that one-year deal. He is suspended, obviously, for the first eight games of the season. But also, they've got Antonio Callaway, who they drafted last year. He's a sleeper. And Baker, like, that's, you know, we can't obviously do that. But that's what we need to try and do with Sam. And obviously, we've got our OBJ and Levy on. And I think it's fine. We'll be fine. But their offense is, I expect it to be better. It's going to be one of the best in the league, and they can seriously challenge if that defense
plays. I was just going to add on their D-line. I've seen a lot of tweets from Ravens and Steelers fans saying like how scary their D-line is as well. So on both sides of the ball, you've got, on paper, it is a monster team, but then you've got to think about coaching as well. Like, coaching is such a big aspect. You can pour a World 11 team out on both sides of the ball, and they might not want to play. It's dependent on the coaching, so you just don't know. But
yeah,
I'm not going to say they're going to fail anyway.
I mean, I might be a blind Jets optimist here, but everyone's focusing on how OBJ has gone to the Browns, and Henry, you just said that like we've got our own OBJ and Le'Veon, but I think Le'Veon is actually better for the Jets than OBJ is for the Browns. Not only because he's healthier, he touches the ball more, but you just know that OBJ is going to kick up a storm when he doesn't get the most receptions in a game. You just know when Mayfield targets Landry instead of OBJ, he's going to start kicking like stuff on the sideline. I think that is a big thing, especially with their new head coach who has never coached properly before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of characters for them to deal with in that offense.
Do you not think as well there's a point to prove? Whereas OBJ already thinks he's made it, he's happy, he thinks he will, he's done all that. Whereas let's say Oakley is what happens here.
I still think Odell wants to win in his career. And I think that I think that's going to push him to be better because they're very good friends and that's healthy competition with each other. And I think that could be a culture change for the Browns in themselves with Baker on top of that. I know this is a Jets podcast, but I am I'm high on the Browns here. I think they are going to go far. And if you give me the option of Odell or Bell right now, might be controversial, but I would go with Odell.
Wow.
I just think he's a big game player, and it's hard because they are both incredible players, but I would go for Odell personally.
Yeah. I mean, each their own. I think I hope that the Jets fans take out of Le'Veon. But I mean, it's very fair. I mean, it's good to see that the Browns and the Jets are kind of coming out of their laughing stock stage, and hopefully now New York Giants will be the laughing stock, especially in New York. I mean, that is an absolute shambles over there.
Can't wait for that home game.
Yeah, definitely. But we can move on to our final question now, which is, I'm going to go back to Colin Cowherd, and he
rated the Jets offseason so far as an A. Only three other teams.
Of course, yes.
Only three teams in the NFL got an A rating from Cowherd. So I want to know, what do you all give as a rating for the Jets free agency movement? And is your faith now restored in Maccagnan?
I'll start off. I'll say A-, simply because of the centre issue. Obviously, at the time of recording this, you know, something could change.
Yeah.
But everything else, I mean, I was so happy. Like, Mosley came out of nowhere. That was, like, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. That just made my day. Bell, obviously, amazing. Crowder, like, the trade for Osemele is... That was insane as well. And but yeah, obviously you can't get everyone. We got to realize that. But A-, but just because of that center.
Yeah.
I'll go with a B+. As you just mentioned, the center issue is still huge for me. Plus I think we're still in need of a corner. The draft could solve that, though. If we do have an excellent draft, which we're not going to know for a while, then I think we can go to an A+. But for now, I'm just on the B+.
Yeah. Ian, what do you think?
Lee is such a good sign. And bust the screen to the Bears, it's not going to be.
that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think I'd give the Jets a B+ as well. I mean, some of the ups we've had. I mean, I was up till 5 a.m. waiting for the Le'Veon Bell news, and I think I woke up everyone in my block of flats. But I do think some glaring issues weren't addressed, such as center, such as corner. That, don't get me wrong, I know the free agency isn't the be all and end all of the off season, and there's still the draft. But when you look at the draft, there's not many, especially as a center. I mean, I think Garrett Bradbury is the only potential center we could pick up.
Well, I don't know. I like Eric McCoy, Texas A&M.
He's a big
guy. Yeah. You know, 6'2", 900 pounds. He can make a difference from the third round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it just goes back to the point made earlier that Le'Veon Bell does need, and Sam Darnold, they do need an O-line. And although we slander the Giants, they have built a good O-line over the last 2 years, and I think that is the main issue the Jets need to go for. It's not the interesting in the beautiful way, but
I think
it is necessary.
The issue with draft and center, though, is if you got someone like Moore or Paradis, is you got experience in helping Sam read plays and just reading the game better. So I think that would have been so much more helpful going forward, just because Sam is only just coming out of his rookie season. So if we do draft a centre, it could backfire for the season coming up. And
yeah,
that's my point anyway.
I'd agree with that point, but I'd also say drafting has its benefits, because obviously if we draft, we're going to get a young centre with a young QB, and that relationship can mature over a long time and build a strong relationship. And that's like one positive of that. Obviously, Mitch Morse isn't that old, though. Paradis is getting on the older side, so, but that is one positive at least.
I mean, it can't get much worse than Spencer Long, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Harrison had some decent games at the end of last season. Whether he can continue that,
yeah, I mean,
is another question.
I mean, there's a lot of talk lately around Jonathan Harrison and Darrell Roberts, the corner. I mean, they're the two positions that we've all said that are the ones that are in major need. But Darrell Roberts, I mean, I'm just going to get up what the Jets paid him. They paid him a lot of money, and it's money that a starting corner could expect. So the Jets might be seeing a lot more in them than we see, and they might think that they are the guys going forward.
I'd like to see more of Nickerson. I was quite impressed at times with him last season. I mean, he had a few penalties, but some of them were against the Patriots, which shouldn't have been penalties. But I mean, he's not a plug-in-and-play starter right now, but think he is an option down the line as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to remember as well, when you look into the contracts that Matt gives out, obviously from like the outside, 3 years, 18 million, okay, bit too much. But when you go in, there's incentives, there's opt-outs after all the years. And he's a good GM in terms of that. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that simply because as fans, the majority of us won't go further into the contracts. We'll just look at the outside, look at the money per year and be like, bit too much. But when you look in, his incentives, we can get out after the first year. So really, it's kind of a one-year contract and only pick up about $1 or $2 million in dead money. So
yeah,
it's a bit more than I would have liked. But at the end of the day, he was a solid player last season. And that is in a defense that's only improved. So that's only going to improve his play, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to the question of, like, do you now have a renewed faith in McKagan? And I think that's a very good point. A lot of people don't look at the business side, which I think is one of his strongest points, McKagan, as a general manager. He does, like, even with the Bell deal, I mean, he's essentially got a bargain. Alongside the trade, I mean, we can't really fault the trades that McKagan has, even the Kelechi Osemele trade, which we haven't really spoken about too much. But to give up, I think it was like 40 places in the draft just for one of the best.
In the hundreds.
It's a very, very savvy move.
Yeah, and I think people forget last year's seventh rounder for Henry Anderson, who was our joint top sack leader with Jordan Jenkins. That's a great move. And that's another one, again, that people, including myself, when you first look at it, 25 mil, 8 mil a year. You say, you know, but then again, incentives in that, sack goals, so it's fine.
I think that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you for listening. Thanks, guys, for taking part.
Thanks for having us.
Good stuff.
It's an exciting time now, hopefully, anyway.
Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you all for listening and good night.
Bye. Bye. Bye.